Yes, hey everybody. It's us, it's me, it's you. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn and Joe! Joe Show. Hey everybody, it's the Carolyn and Joe Show. My name is Joe Carabale. I'm still a filmmaker, still a photographer, definitely still in the band Monday Mistress. But today, I am a podcaster. And across from me in the studio, in the Stray Studios, is a wonderful, ultra-talented, super human. She is the universal champion of the world. Her name is Carolyn Bilewski. How you doing, Carolyn?
Hi. I didn't even know I was actually human, but now I'm superhuman. So that's pretty impressive. And not only do we have the regulars here today, we also have a special guest live in studio, Joe Sutliff.
Hey, Joe.
I'm irregular.
Yes.
Welcome to the studio.
It's just so glad to be here.
So we have two Joes and one Carolyn. We could rename the show.
Yes, the new low. Two Joes.
Carolyn and Two Joes Show.
This is the very first time there was ever two Joes, right? Was there another Joe before?
I don't think so.
I don't know. This is the first time.
I'll try my best to do my part to hold up my end of the fabulous Joe legacy.
I'd like to start out now that, you know, not that I haven't heard your voice in real life, but hearing it both in our headphones and on the air, both of our voices are pretty badass on the radio.
I've said so many times and written it on several bathroom walls.
But thanks for being on the show the very first time. Have you been on a live podcast? I don't even know.
I have not been on a live podcast before.
Really?
So this is a first for me, and my daughter Laurel is very impressed.
So yes.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Is that the goal? It's like we need to impress the youth. Is that how it is?
Either that or embarrass them terribly. So
shout out to Laurel. Thanks for listening. I'm sure you're going to be listening. So does Laurel still have, like, last I saw her, she had like pink hair at the bottom. I guess, what would you call that, an ombre look? She has naturally blonde hair.
It looks like it was pink with purple and then blue tips. And that has grown out. And I am now contemplating re-dyeing her job. I did that in her sleep one night while she was dreaming away. And I'm thinking of doing it again just to mix up her social life.
That's like a ghost, like a nightmare dye job.
So, and I know her as being a really big Taylor Swift fan.
Not so much anymore.
Really?
Ed Sheeran is now the ruler of the females in my household.
I knew your wife liked Ed.
Yes, and it's rubbed off on my daughter.
Oh. So are they going to concerts together?
Oh, yes. All over the country. Every time he goes on tour. And I've already been warned to start building up the savings account for the next series of tickets.
I mean, he did have that big hit. Like, I call it the Panty Melter song. Because it's like, what's the name of the song? I don't know the actual name.
The one that, Photograph.
Photograph? It's like the one that I always hear at weddings, like, the past year.
All his songs to me sound very similar, like a very, I like them. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I find out what they're about, and I start crying and going, "Aw."
He's so romantic.
Yeah.
Hold that thought on the panty melter. It's time for Carolyn's news.
It's time for the news, and I'm glad that Joe Sutliff is here, because we can talk for a little bit about Cartoonist Draw Blood. That is our upcoming blood drive with the American Red Cross, and Joe is going to be a part of it. Joe, I think you've been a part of it for all 4 years.
Every year for four years.
Well, not just the election every 4 years. It's every
That's
annual.
It's been going for 4 years?
Yes,
that's
it's
insane.
The fourth year. So, yeah, what it is, it's a typical blood drive with American Red Cross, but our spin on it is cartoonists draw for you after your blood donation, and we get to meet a lot of people in the community and have fun also between us cartoonists just chilling and drawing.
Chilling and drawing and drawing blood. I want to confess now, Carolyn, we've actually drawn a few cartoons before people have donated blood. So you can show up and ask for cartoons, and then while you're not aware of the situation, somebody sticks a needle in your arm and draws off a pie.
But yes.
I envisioned that's how it was pitched to me of how the cartoonist draw blood scenario is going to be.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, don't be afraid. It's not cartoonists actually poking you. It's actually legit people from Red Cross that are experienced and they're professionals. They know what they're doing. But yes, this is coming up It's on October 29th this year. So it's not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday, October 29th, from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. And you can sign up for an appointment in advance if you email Troy and I. The email is cartoonists, with an S, cartoonistsdrawblood@gmail.com. Email us and we'll get you scheduled with an appointment. The appointments take about 15 minutes, sometimes faster if you're really good at bleeding, which I am. It only took me like 7 or 8 minutes. But, you know, I'm pretty proud of being a good bleeder because they told me I was a good bleeder. But not only are Joe and I going to be here, I think also you, Joe Carabeo, are going to be there taking photographs.
I'm going to attempt to be there, but I should be there.
Yes. And we also have other cartoonists like Steve Artley. He's a really great political cartoonist in the area. Eric Gordon, Mal Jones, Bill Brown, Liz Reed of Cuddles and Rage.
Is this Liz's first time?
Yeah, it is. She was supposed to do it last year, but she got injured. So
she was like giving blood another way.
I think it's something something happened to her hand. But yeah, it's Liz's first year joining us. Carrie Johnston's first year joining us, and Art Hondros too. So Art Hondros is a native of Tacoma Park. He's been in Washington Post Magazine, a couple other cool things. But yeah, and all of us have known each other for a long time.
Quite a long time. And yeah. To play off on the Carolyn's introduction of superhero status or superhuman status, she put this idea together.
Yeah.
And we're all incredibly proud to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Like, I will say the first year was very tough because it was literally, like, only me. And I, like, had to find the location and talk to the Red Cross and everything. But it's been a lot better now that Troy has helped me co-chair. So, you know, I get kind of like another set of eyeballs on things and checking emails and dealing with lots of things. But, yeah, it's good. It's good. I feel like the train's on the tracks. We're running.
Yes, exactly. It runs smooth as blood on the water.
Yes.
Is that a saying?
It is now. So also another thing is I gave you the date, but I didn't give you the location. Again, this is Saturday, October 29th, and it's at Seeker's Church. This is right across from Tacoma Metro, and as most of the D.C. area knows, that the Metro is free parking on weekends, so you can park right across the street at the Tacoma Park Metro and literally walk, you know, 1 minute and be right at Seeker's Church. And you can also take the Metro to the event. The address is 276 Carroll Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C. So we hope you can join us on that date, October 29th. And also, I just have new news. This is like literally hours away from announcing, is that there's a coffee shop like a couple doors down from Seeker's Church, and they are giving all blood donors 10% off that day.
Well, that's cool.
Reason alone.
Deals.
I mean, deals. Like, you can get coffee, you can get a whole bunch of treats. I've even had a quiche from there before. So,
but
you know.
Coffee, cartoons, a cookie or two.
Yeah, free cookies from Red Cross.
What more could you ask?
It's funny,
meet all these cartoonists.
I've never been beyond Seeker's Church, like from on that street. I've never been I've never walked.
Well, the coffee
I've seen
shop
it from
is
far
cool.
away. I've seen it like the rest of that stuff from far away. So I'm wondering what else is down there.
Maybe you can explore.
That just might happen.
But yeah, it should be a good time, and we're glad to have
you.
It's
always here. A good time.
Yeah.
And, the level of enthusiasm and the people that come in, and they're always proud to be donating the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they don't want to donate blood, they're proud to donate blood.
Well, the cool thing is, like, I didn't really realize this years ago, but every time you donate, you save 3 lives, or up to 3 lives. You could save one if somebody needs a lot of blood, I don't know. But they always say up to 3 lives, so you could.
So how many people has this program saved?
I haven't done the totals, but I know, like, probably over 200.
200 people out there.
At least 200.
Just from Cartoonist Straw Blood. So
yeah.
You should be very proud.
I am pretty proud.
And everybody should show up.
Yeah.
I mean, we should have a line around the block and down
the
street.
That's my goal.
There you go.
It's pretty amazing that, like, when you brought up the fact that it's been going on for 4 years, because for some reason it never really clicked in my head how long this has been going on, but it's been a substantial, like, event that's happened every time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, well, when I look at my timeline of life, I'm like, I got this organized like 2 jobs ago, so I've already had 3 different jobs like in 4 years. But yeah, I mean, hey, that works. But so, Joe, let's talk about you since you're here.
Where? Who? Me? Oh, yes. Okay.
So, like, what's going on with you? Like,
what have you been up to?
What are you? Because I know you do Bag of Lemons.
I do.
And you also do Jeffrey. You have, like, a whole bunch of cartoons going on.
I'm one of those people that's trying different things and having a lot of fun with it. I've never actually grown up. I started out as an illustrator cartoonist in the D.C. area back when there were lots of magazines and newspapers.
Yeah.
And people could sell cartoons to almost anybody. In fact, people were, if you threw a cartoon out the window, somebody would be standing there to catch it and publish it. And it was a different time in the city and in the industry and had a lot of fun with it. Now that's changed for some reason. People discovered this thing called the internet. Have you heard of it?
The WWW?
Yeah, something like that. Those are the letters. There are lots of letters.
I think it's World Wide Web.
There's WWW and HTTP and FTP
and
all those.
Yeah. We're always like, what do these letters and numbers mean?
I don't know. All I know is that it means there's less newspapers and magazines and print.
Definitely. So. And it's not just our industry that's changed, too. Even with movies, like I hear about, like, people don't even want DVDs anymore. It's just a lot of physical objects are physically gone.
The porn industry is suffering from it. Go figure that. I mean,
piracy is strong.
But didn't they help, like, kind of create the internet? Like,
they did. And just let that be a warning to you. If you want to start something new, be careful because you might actually hurt yourself in the long run. But as a result of the decreased publication work, the original story was I was invited by a friend to do political cartoons for the Rock Creek Free Press, a newspaper that he started. And I had never really just published cartoons for cartoon's sake. And so at his urging, I started doing political cartoons, and I was very bad at it. But after 5 years, I developed a taste for it and started doing other stories. Then Master Jeffrey came about as a result of a sad thing. My brother-in-law passed away under unfortunate circumstances, and I didn't want him to be remembered for a sad memory. I wanted him to be a happy memory, and so I created this character called Master Jeffrey. And he had a learning disability, and not many people listened to him very often. Because he was also one of those really annoying people that would drive you crazy if you spent time.
What was his disability?
He had a learning disability that was mildly dyslexic, and he had other issues
autism
so much. It was, the details are not that important. He had low self-esteem because of it, and a lot of people just treated him very deferentially.
How old was he when he passed away? Was he young?
No, he was in his 50s.
50s, okay.
So I made him into the smartest man in the world. I tried to
He's
capture
kind of like a mad scientist.
He is. I tried to capture his personality, which was grumpy and very fond of French fries. But at the same time, I made him famous throughout the world, and he saved the world many times over from many different events. And everybody comes out to him and reaches to him for help. Mm-hmm. And he helps when he can, but most of the time he also lets people solve their own problems and guides them through things. So I thought that would be a good memory for him.
Yeah, I like that. Was he ever around to see himself in comic strip form?
I invented it after he passed away.
Okay.
But he saw a lot of my cartoons, and I had drawn him, and he liked how I drew him. So.
Yeah.
Except he didn't think I was... too flattering with his profile because he was a little heavy, but I'm a little heavy, so I drew myself just as heavy. So we got along in that. And then I do other cartoons, web comics. I've just launched two new ones. A blog on Let Us Seek Wonders, which is not a funny comic, but it's a graphic narrative about some of the more positive aspects of people getting together from different groups that you might not think would normally associate with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And they help each other out and do amazing things that better the universe and humanity and sort of putting it out there as a positive message type thing. I'd try something different.
Yeah, I like how you're putting a spin on something that could seem like upsetting and then you flip it around and you're making it your own thing and... putting like, a gloss over something that would normally like not even get attention because of, people just don't want to, sometimes people want to just sweep things under the rug or like pretend like it doesn't exist or something, but it's like you're creating a legacy
Yeah, that's the idea, is that we don't realize how funny life is sometimes. Yeah. And the late, great Richard Thompson was a master of looking at something small and making it into an entire universe of humor and reality.
Yeah.
But what I like to try and do is take the small and intimate and make it into a story. I wrote a children's book called I Don't Like Beets that just came from one event at dinner. And became a book.
See, I think those are great places. I feel like you can find stories like anywhere, really. Like if you just pay attention, there's a moment that you can create something out of.
Yeah, we're all surrounded by these interesting moments in life. And if we just capture them and pay attention to them.
Yeah.
Too often, the world more and more is now everybody going like this. Not to belittle, but
on their phones,
heads down, looking at little iPhone or whatever, Samsung, whatever they
catching
have.
Catching Pokemon.
But even before that, there was the Game evil television, the cathode god.
Yeah. And the radio, even. Before
and the
that.
Radio. Before, well, people would sit and listen. And as a diversion, as a mild entertainment, that's good. We all need that.
Yeah.
But I used to characterize it as I need to turn my brain off for an hour, and I would go and watch television.
Yeah.
Now just if you take that in a sense, everyone needs just to have their brain turned off at all times.
Yes, and that's what happens. People don't go out and experience. And that's what I try and capture with my little narratives. You know, shoveling snow.
Well, the funny thing is they might actually be looking at it on their phone. And
probably true. And therein lies the flaw in my little plan. I have these stories, and they're all going out on the internet. So the great thing is people are reading them. The bad thing is I haven't figured out how to get paid for them. But money is never something that motivated me. It was always mm-hmm. the creation process.
Of the stories, yeah.
Being able to draw and tell a story and have somebody listen to that story or read the story, mm-hmm. that's always been what I really wanted in life.
Because well, you know, that's one of the toughest parts, too. Like, really, it's like, should you wait till the money comes to create something, or should you just create something and then wait till the money follows you, you know?
That's always been, to me, it seems that if you're just chasing the money, you're trying to get money. And yeah. that interferes with the creative process.
Well, yeah. If you wanted to get money seriously, don't be an artist in the first place. Because, like, I'm not saying that all artists don't make money and everyone's a starving artist, because that actually isn't true. But it just seems like if you're that money hungry, just be, like, a Wall Street banker or, like, I don't know, a lawyer. Like, something that you know that, like, most of those professions, like, make money already off the bat.
Now you've hit upon the one thing. A lot of kids come out of high school, and they were artsy in high school, and they mm-hmm. go, I'll go to college for art, and I will be a famous artist, and I will make lots of money.
Yeah.
And I've taught at the university level, and I've taught at high schools, and I've taught at elementary schools. I've taught pretty much every grade level that you can think of. And whenever anybody asks me, what is the one thing that you really need? Is it training? Is it natural talent? No, you have to be dumb enough to want to do cartoons.
Yeah,
no matter how big a failure you turn into economically.
You really just want to love to do it, you know?
Yeah, you have to love it. You have to need it. You have to want to take the pictures and the words, or just the pictures, or just, well, if you just the words, you're not much of a cartoonist. But
I mean, I guess you could be a picture book cartoonist type thing. Well, people have wordless cartoons.
Well, it's the love of the media.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's usually like words and pictures together.
And then I always finish it up with, if you think you're doing this because it's an easy way to make a living, you're wrong.
Yeah, it's definitely not
there
easy.
Almost any way you can think of is going to be easier
exactly.
to make more money.
And I always feel it's funny sometimes people will, with like, they'll do like either comics or comic strip, and they will just try to find that formula. You know, like, this is what you gotta do to make money. And like, I feel like there's no real, do you think there is like a formula to make it, to be popular?
I asked that very question to Stefan Pastis, who draws
Pearls
and writes
before
Pearls
Swine.
Before Swine. And he said he had no idea that the strip would be that successful. And he mm-hmm. But he also says that he submitted it, was it 9 times before a syndication group would pick it up?
And he was a lawyer before he became a cartoonist.
But he wanted to be a lawyer. Is that what it was?
I think he actually didn't like it as much as, you know, he thought he would, I guess. At one point, you know, he like went and got his law degree and got the made bar and all, you know, like, but then I guess after a while he was like, drudgery, you know, so, but he always wanted to draw cartoons.
But is that what comes out of his cartoon? It's like his life of his hatred or whatever his frustrations of being a lawyer, like his comic.
I'm sure it works its way into it.
Well, not to speak for him, I think his first character was Rat.
He has like maybe a rat and a pig and a zebra.
Yes, and so the rat was the first cartoon character in the concept. So maybe that does speak something about being a lawyer.
We'd have to ask him.
But we know several lawyers who turned into cartoonists.
That's true. It's actually like a pretty, it's like almost like a thing. So, I mean, other cartoonists, like they've wanted to be cartoonists ever since they were young. That's like probably 90% of most cartoonists. But now there are also like Bud Grace used to be like a scientist, you know? So, and then now he draws cartoons. But, you know, it's like, I guess it will find its way to you. If that's what you want to do, you'll put the work in and get those opportunities. But the other crazy thing, like, that I think about making money, though, is that, like, I feel like if you are going to do it, you're going to do it anyway. I'm not just going to, like, sit around all day and be like, I'm not going to draw this cartoon unless someone gives me $100, you know, like, you know, or whatever, you know. And it's like, no, you're just going to, you have something to say, you put it out there. And, like, my hope is that people see it and then they're like, oh, we really like her stuff. We should get her to draw something for us. So it's kind of like a self-promotion thing online. Well, that's how I view it as.
Exactly. And the ability to promote yourself is the one discriminator now in the current marketplace. If you like to draw cartoons, you also have to know how to market the cartoons in social media and in other venues like that. The old formula was 60% drawing and 40% marketing when you were doing work 30, 40 years ago. Now it's more the other way around. It's 40% drawing, 60 or even higher marketing, spending time on the internet, on Twitter, Instagram, not to date myself, but Facebook.
Yeah. And it's not even like the work level. You still got to do just as much of the work in the cartooning. It's just now you got to do more the social. So it's not the ratio, but it's just like more effort has to be put into it.
Exactly. And it can be exhausting at times. And then there's that nasty requirement of rent and electrical bills and food. I remember food.
Yeah, food.
But that's one interesting thing, because people say like, oh, the internet now is the Wild West. You can get famous off of doing nothing, or you can make it big doing what. But then sometimes say like, you know, even for something like, say, I busted my ass to make like a film that like took me like 3 months, and then I'd post it up on there to have a premiere of it, then it'd be like 30 likes or like 30 views, and then of course someone else can, you know, post, I don't know, something like their butt, and then just gets astronomical views. How does that affect you?
It's the butt.
Or stuff like that. Does that ever affect you?
It's
like
all
that?
About the base. Isn't
it, is.
Yeah,
it is.
It is.
And not to play on that horrible pun, but it is about the base. If you have a lot of friends and you already have a sizable presence, mm-hmm. and people who are into similar media and share them, I am old. I hate to tell you.
But you're online. I feel like you're not like existing. You know, like you're not existing. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, I have a pretty good following, and it's growing. You know, but then people find out how old I am, and they go, "Oh God, he's old. We can't listen to his stuff." Or
yeah, like Ralph Steadman's old, and he had like a lot of people think his stuff is really cool.
But, but people like him and are following him already, and all they have to do is say, "Oh."
And Ralph Steadman. I don't even know if Ralph Steadman has like his own Twitter account. Like, for all I know, he probably doesn't. He seems like
that
a person
may be
that
true.
Wouldn't.
Well, but I think to me the another factor of it is, mm-hmm. I don't have the friends that I have and mm-hmm. the circle that I'm in. I have one friend who runs a podcast.
Is it me?
No.
Is that someone else?
I have two friends who have podcasts. Oh, so gosh.
Oh wow.
A lot of people, you know, don't even look at the internet. I have to print out copies of Master Jevery and mail them in the envelopes.
That feels better, though. That feels better.
I feel like, no, but, like, okay, my real, like, people who I, like, really, really consider friends that I actually see, like, in real life, mm-hmm. they don't actually pay that much attention to my cartoons. Like, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I feel like they, you know, have other interests, and they don't necessarily read cartoons. And, you know, they might, like, here and there check in, but they're not like my fans, you know, like I'm not like, oh, all my fans are my friends, you know, so it's a little different.
Well, if they're your friend and they're your fan, you always have that little wavering element of distrust. Oh, they like my cartoon. well, they're my friend. They have to say
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm. They're already technically defaulted.
It doesn't really, it's like kissing your sister. It doesn't really count.
Yeah, it doesn't.
But
at least in my mind, it doesn't count.
But I am guilty of, as anyone, of like going to the stats page right after I post a mm-hmm. page and just refresh. Did it go up anymore? Yeah. Did I crack 20 viewers yet?
But then sometimes there's even like, I got deterred from looking at that when I realized like, oh, like some of these might not even be real. Real people at yeah. all.
This is true. Spiders count as yeah. hits. Mm-hmm. And that's very regular. You can look at the curves. You can look track. There's a baseline. There's a.
It's all about the bass again.
Yeah, you see how it keeps coming back.
Yeah. Like,
and we're sitting here in a music studio, so yeah. it all comes down to that.
And I play bass too. So.
My brother plays bass. Oh my gosh, oh. Joe, we have so much in common.
That's a serious so instrument.
Not,
I have to say
not
that.
Just more than a name.
But yeah, there's ways you can tell when you have real people looking at it as
like
opposed
genuine
to
genuine interaction.
People. Yes, and if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and suddenly you get 50 hits, you're pretty sure that Australia didn't just wake up and tune into your yeah. comic strip. But if you see on peak days or on the end of the week, I know people who will save them up and read a bunch of them at once.
Yeah. See, I stopped checking analytics a while ago. Like, I don't even really look at it much. But when I do randomly check it, maybe like a few times a year, like I find it interesting to see like what continents and stuff, like people from other countries that are looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
But like also I feel like the internet's so finicky now with, I know Facebook has changed its algorithm. So like depending on, I don't know, they change it quite frequently. So they, you might think that something's successful, but then like it's not hitting the people that you hit maybe 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not really actually hitting your fan base on the fan pages. So I don't know how that's all working. But then it just seems like it's like, oh, why is this not working the way it should be? Because they're trying to craft another way around it so that you don't get as much base as you could.
Well, they're trying to monopolize the advertising.
Yeah.
Like, so they don't want everybody to know
the secrets
so that they can sell those secrets.
But it's still very hard to like capture your fans again because they might see, or even like timing wise, like you might post something on Twitter at a bad time and then like no one sees it, but then you might do it at like a really great time and you might get more visibility.
And I'm learning more about this every day and yeah. how Wednesday is the best day to post things. And so I'm posting Master Jeffrey on Wednesdays. And I'll tell you one funny story about Master Jeffrey. I had drawn the first 40 pages or so. And then a friend of mine who had been following it regularly, because he's my friend, not mm-hmm. because he loved this story, but he did mention to me at one point, you realize you're after the teenage boy market, and one of my characters is a tall, athletic woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, you have to show a little more skin. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. This, mm-hmm. I wanted to target it towards 12 to 14-year-old boys. And then mm-hmm. he said, listen, have you met a 12 to 14-year-old boy lately? And I had. So I had drawn a scene where she is actually doing a very athletic gymnastic style event
mm-hmm.
in order to rescue a small child. And she was wearing a long skirt. Long story, don't know how to set it up any better than that. So like I had originally drawn it with the skirt flowing around her knees.
Yeah.
So I redrew it by just raising the skirt another 4 inches. So it showed more than just her knees.
Mm-hmm.
Just nothing inappropriate, but yeah. I showed a little more leg.
How dare you?
And my stats went up by 300 views.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm going, wow.
That's actually like, that's, pretty
you're like, that's
amazing.
All it takes?
That's all apparently it takes. And I have, ever since that moment, and no, I am not going to start drawing internet porn unless somebody
actually,
asks me
what,
to.
What year was this when that came? When that
it was 2013.
See, what's amazing now is if you follow like the fashion that's happening, like with just any, girls in general, it's like
less is more.
Well, it's like just the shorts are just like legit, like just incredibly short at this point. But the waist is getting higher too. It's like I don't understand how that happened.
High-waisted pants.
High-waisted pants and really short jeans. Is that something that you're going to throw into the next one just to get, you're like, I need a bump. Let's get this.
I have a daughter.
That's true.
And I have not yet to figure out fashion at all. She didn't like wearing shorts because she thought her legs weren't good enough.
Well, I understand that.
Laurel has great legs. There you go. Now, I fulfilled my father duty, and I have embarrassed my daughter.
But I think she looks good.
But I understand the not wearing shorts part because I don't wear shorts ever. I don't believe in shorts.
I've never even seen Joe's legs.
I don't feel like I don't feel
tough. I have amazing legs. I'm thinking of getting it tattooed along one side of my thighs. But
has that taken into consideration? You're like, have you ever asked your daughter, like, okay, what's like you tried to get like the youth intel to see if you can inject that into your comic?
I have asked her, and she's going,
then you're like, immediately that's the first character.
Does she have the vocal fry?
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. It's just...
Well, what's the vocal fry?
Dad.
Or really? Dad. Oh, that's gross. Oh, leave me alone. I'm listening to Ed Sheeran. But, she was just very... Her head is put together really well. And she follows her own fashion statements, which I encourage, because I used to do that too when I was in high school. I would wear all kinds of ridiculous things.
Like what? What'd you get?
Well, I went to an all-boys prep school, and there was a requirement to wear a coat and tie, but there was not a uniform.
So just any
pair of trousers, button shirt with a necktie. It could be a clip-on, but... We all disdain clip-ons and a jacket.
You could just dress like the FBI all day long.
I did, and I had a blue blazer with a, striped tie and shirt and leopard skin pants.
What?
Which I later found out were actually intended for girls, and I always wondered why they didn't fit very well. But they were hip huggers with huge bell-bottoms.
Yes.
Little did we know. That's the style that would run rampant.
So I was doing Russell Crowe before. No, or not Russell Brand. Before.
Russell Brand.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you usually pay attention to, though, to sort of be, on the fringe when it comes to your comic? Like, do you pay attention to certain sites or comedians or...
I try to avoid other comedy and other comic strips when I'm thinking about it because you don't want to inadvertently copy.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, I was paranoid. Now, where have I seen this joke before? Did I steal it from somebody by mistake?
I don't really read that much webcomics, Joe. Like, I browse around occasionally, but like I don't really have any that I read that often.
Well, I read the ones that are different than mine. Just because I like to, you like to bounce your head off all the different angles in the room.
Yeah.
And that sometimes that expands your vision and horizon. And most of them also carry blogs along with them.
Mm-hmm.
So there are tips there for marketing, and you can garner information from those too. And that's how I learned about Patreon and talking to people about that, about social media tips and techniques.
Mm-hmm.
But good news on one thing, Master Jeffrey is now in print. So I collected the first story.
Awesome.
And it's now available on Amazon. Go to Amazon, buy Master Jeffrey. The link the link is not anywhere on any of my websites.
But can you search your name on Amazon and it will come up?
Yes, I believe you can.
Okay, there you go.
Either that or When Hadrons Collide by Master Jeffrey's first adventure. I don't know. I avoid making money. That's explains why my bank account looks like it does.
But speaking of like how you made the girl's dress go up a few inches, I have heard of artists like, I think it's Brad Geiger. He does, on his Patreon, he has kind of like a more adult versions of comics, but it's only for people that contribute to the Patreon.
Yes, I've heard of that too. I haven't really gotten into that, and I'm avoiding it.
It is kind of like, I'm not against him, obviously, for doing that. Like, I actually think it's like business-wise, I'm like, that's a good decision. If there's a much demand for it and people want to see that, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not going to like...
I almost feel like people always want to see it, no matter what.
But it's good that he has it up against a paywall, is what I'm saying. Is that like, that's actually super smart, because first of all, kids aren't going to get to it, most likely. or I hope not, you know, because then you have that barrier over it. And it's like, well, hey, dudes, if you really want to like see some more, you know, you're going to have to cough up some money so that, you know, and he's very successful at that.
Well, every once in a while, by either inadvertently or by intent, I will come across naughty drawings of famous cartoon characters, mm-hmm. almost always female,
yeah,
but also male characters too. And I wondered how bad is this? Or not to use the word bad, but how prevalent is this?
I guess there's a demand for it.
So, you know, at the risk of jading all my the tracking software that focuses on us all up in the sky, mm-hmm. actually once did naughty pictures. I didn't use the word naughty of cartoon characters.
Yeah.
And just the amount and volume of people who publish this type of stuff, it's just astonishing.
Yeah.
But it's apparently a major portion of our society, for good or ill. I know the people who do Bob Ross. Do you know who Bob Ross is?
The
painter
afro,
with the afro.
He paints like Happy Little Trees.
Happy Little Trees. Apparently, yeah. Their biggest problem in life is the number of people that use Bob Ross clips in porno movies.
What?
Because
see, for me, like, I feel like I don't need to see my cartoon characters like that because they already a lot of them aren't wearing pants. So I'm already like, well, you know, I can see them pretty much naked when it comes down to it.
Well, we also have to keep in mind that they're not real.
Yeah, they're not real.
I mean, I will say, and this has been out there before for a while, but like, for example, I actually, from a very young age, had a crush on Disney's Robin Hood Fox.
Oh.
And I think for some reason, I don't know what it is. Like, I think he's hot. I don't like fantasize about him every day or anything. Like, I've never Googled like gross pictures of him. Like, but I just need to look at him and I feel happy. And like, to me, he's very charismatic and he's charming. And, but the flip side of it is like, he's not human and he's a cartoon and he's a fox. But I'm like, am I a furry or what's the deal?
Well,
there?
Now they have the other fox in Zootopia then too.
I thought he was cute too, but he's like, I know he's based off of that Robin Hood fox, but the Robin Hood fox like is probably my top cartoon crush.
There you go. I taught a course in graphic novels for a while, and my students would ask, is there anything we can't do in our projects? And I said, no, you can do anything you want, but you have to have a reason for it.
Yeah.
And there's such a thing as, and I use the example, and it's not sexual, it's horrific, is the from the movie The Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
If you visualize or you think back about it, the scariest image that you can conjure from that picture is does not have any gore in it at all. It's when Jodie Foster and I forget the other actor's name are walking down the stairs on the way to the cell.
Is it Anthony Hopkins?
No. On the way to Anthony Hopkins' cell. And they're, and the doctor is explaining why she has to follow all the rules. And he paints this word picture in his mind of the time that he ate a nurse's face off or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's that, you know, everything, we now see things, and when you see it, it destroys it. It's like knowing a magic trick. If you knew what, you know, people look like naked, you wouldn't want to look at them anymore.
Yeah.
But you can fantasize about what
you gotta have the mystery.
The mystery, the best, it's like all the doctors say, the biggest sex organ in your body is between your ears. And so if you
my brain.
Your brain.
Brains.
This close to Halloween, we should stop talking about brains.
We're
blood and brains. How do we're all the way back. But if you can imagine things, if you can create an image and burlesque.
The fantasy.
Yeah, burlesque was the height of sexual intimation where nobody actually saw anything, but everybody got very excited and titillated by it. And that's what you should go for. Not
being a tease.
Not drawing, you know, cartoon nipples and other parts of your body, but just in getting people worked up about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's like better to me.
It's funny, once they include like the nipples or anything like that, then it starts feeling real.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, I guess that's real, but then it takes the fantasy, the mental fantasy away.
This is true. I always avoid, One of these days, I'll have to make a study of cartoon nipples just to see which cartoons.
Go for it. Maybe that can be a blog post.
or a pop-up book.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. People on the internet just get so carried away with, like, there's just images that I see almost every day where I'm like, I wasn't even looking for that. You know, like, it's just like, why is that there? You know? So I've done some crazy searches.
I don't know if it's still true or not, but like, I found that if you do, it was true on some of the older search engines. If you searched in a thing and you followed a string, mm-hmm. three clicks, by the third click, the percentage of naughty sites that were associated with whatever it was yours, and it doesn't matter what it was.
Yeah.
A waterfowl of the Midwest mm-hmm. was my most famous one. That got me to all kinds of naughty stuff very yeah. quickly. It's out there everywhere. But
and I'm not trying to be a prude about it, but there's just like simple searches. Like I've searched literally for like trees, and I've seen like girls like
and,
in
and you
in
found
a tree.
Wood.
Yeah. And I'm yeah, exactly. It's like, and I've actually done search like a healthy graphic design search for package design, and I've seen
and you
some
got
package.
Bondage.
Yeah, I've seen some packages, and I'm just saying like I'm out there like actually searching for something totally healthy that I'm actually trying to learn about. And then I'm like,
keep saying
what
that,
is that?
Carol.
Yeah, you can totally go crazy online. Huh. Yeah.
That's just pretty much what everything ends up, you know, going towards and on the internet.
Yeah, it's like, why does it have to go there?
Well, I mean, it should be easy to get to if you want to go there, but
yeah. Because, well, I'd like to feel like that's why the internet was created. And then they built other ways of using it on top of that. Because I think that's what people started with. They're like, oh man, the internet, what can we do? Oh, we can find naked pictures of Anna Nicole Smith.
Well, even,
that's like the first thing.
Well, Facebook was all about like judging women. It used to put up like two women next to each other, like kind of like Hot or Not. I don't know if you remember that site.
Oh yeah.
But it was like you put up your picture and I guess people rank you on a 1 to 10 or something. But Facebook originally kind of started as like college girl, like it started out in a few handful of colleges, but it was like they'll put up like two girls' faces, just their face, and then you kind of have to like pick which one you would like, you know? And it's like putting two girls up against each other, which like that's kind of unhealthy. And it's college age people, so it's like,
and it's,
you know,
mean. I mean,
it is kind of
be
mean.
So mean. But I don't understand.
But now
that.
It's like this whole thing of like, now it's your whole Rolodex of everyone that you've ever met in your life, even for 5 minutes or longer, you know?
But also just like, even with like cartooning and illustration, isn't that like some of the earliest drawings ever seen? It's just like, you know, naked people. It's like how the whole thing.
Well, cartooning can be mean too.
Yeah, and yeah, there's going to be an aspect of that. Everybody said, I saw one documentary once that said 20 minutes after they invented the film, mm-hmm. They made the first porno.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly, 20 minutes. They're like, you know what I can do with this?
But, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I'm doing that blog. I try different things. I try to be opposite of myself. You know, mm-hmm. if one idea isn't working, I do a 180 and go in another direction or do a 90 degree and or sometimes 470.
Yeah.
But this one is totally serious and supposed to be morally uplifting.
Yeah.
And so nobody's looking at it. Well, but, about 30 people are looking at it.
But you might gain a following from it, like, for the right people. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like even though your following might not be astronomical at first because you're not putting up body parts, like, you might get the people that are looking, though, they'll pay more. I feel like there'll be more of a devout following that want to see, like,
I think it will grow.
That type of stuff. Yeah.
I'm willing to try anything.
And how long have you started? You haven't been doing it very long.
Right? No, I launched it 2 weeks before SPX.
Okay.
And
so it's
doing
been about
one a week.
A month or so?
Yeah. And I have 7 or 8 up now and okay. more coming. And the good news is there's no end of examples out there so far of people, you know, I've written about most of them. I want them all to be contemporary, but I was inspired to do the strip in part by the movie Pride,
yeah,
which was about the 1984 Welsh coal miner strike. Do you guys see that?
I have not.
I've heard
seen
about
that.
It. I never saw it.
Well, it's a great story about how the lesbian gay community got together and supported the miners.
Cool.
And it played off of all the interaction, and a lot of it was fictionalized.
Where was this? Pennsylvania?
In Great Britain, Wales. Okay. and London. The group was in London, and they raised a lot of money for the miners. When I was researching the article, I found that so many of the aspects that were in the movie were very, very accurate to the true story. So I can only imagine all the stuff that was conceptualized had to have happened. A bunch of gay people go into a Welsh mining town, into the mining hall for a potluck dinner in 1984. There must have been some awkwardness in that. And then it culminated in a great party in London called the Pits and Perverts Ball that was attended by the miners. Mm-hmm. And they were so grateful that the 1985 Gay Pride Parade in London was led by several different busloads of miners from Wales that came just to support the gay community.
That sounds pretty awesome, though.
Yeah, and there are lots of stories like that. There's a town in Israel. Everybody hears about all the bad things that are happening in Israel, but there's a town in Israel that's named, it's known by its Hebrew and its Arabic name, Nev Shalom Wahat Asalam, which both translate to the Oasis of Peace.
Nice.
And it is where Jews and Palestinians and Christians from Israel all voluntarily moved in and lived together. Hmm. The story is very interesting. It's growing. And one of the most interesting aspects about it is it's not, as one of the residents said, it's not because they all agree and think the same way. They've all learned to live together despite their differences.
Yeah.
And so I see that as a very positive message.
And they also chose to live there with other religions in the community.
Exactly. And now, if they only added porn to it, then maybe it would be a better story. But no, and that's one aspect of one of the cartoons that I'm doing. And another one, completely different but very similar at the same time, is a book that I debuted at SPX, and I sold out all my copies.
Nice.
Sweet.
It was called No Such Thing as God. And that was an intentionally provocative title because I mm-hmm. teach in a religious school part-time. And I sent an advanced copy to the rabbi to look at and get his feedback on. And he actually said that he based his Rosh Hashanah sermon on part that? Of
oh,
it.
Wow.
Nice.
Which was a very big compliment.
Yeah.
And I was very grateful for that until he made me stand up and say the name of the book out loud in the middle of services.
Oh my God.
And I had got it. So what was that title again, Joe? Say it. Don't say the title, Joe.
You got called out.
Yes, yes. I love the rabbi.
I guess it's good that you...
Rabbi Block, I love you very much.
He gave
don't
me
do
attention.
That again.
I don't know. Like, I guess it's good that he credited you and
he did.
Acknowledged you.
Yes. Well, my exploration of my personal journey through faith and the fact that I started out as a Catholic parochial schoolboy, mm-hmm. and I'm now still a Christian, mm-hmm. very strongly, but I'm teaching in a Hebrew school. And I have Muslim friends and Hindu friends, and just your perspective on God can cause a lot of things. And I do that very humorously because it's not a subject to be treated terribly seriously in cartoon form.
Yeah.
So I play around with all kinds of ideas.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not like an expert in all religions, but I really feel like most of them are pretty much based on the same fundamentals.
That's very true.
So it's like, you know, when people are like, you hear about all these fighting and stuff. You don't really hear about that here, like right outside of Washington, D.C. as much. But I mean, it's definitely around, like some bigotry and stuff. But it's not as prominent as when you hear like the world news where like bombings are happening in malls over religion and stuff like that. And at weddings and like all these things like you hear about all the time. But I'm like, man, people are still fighting over like the Bible and, you know, they can't work together to like... find similarities, because I feel like a lot of religions are very similar.
Well, it's true, because people don't... I mean, you have to understand that belief is a very powerful motivator for people. Yeah. If you wear the wrong T-shirt into the wrong bar on playoff week, you could get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And so that's essentially what happens with religion. When people take it on a level... And I, you know, the easy thing to say is you take it literally.
Yeah.
But it can be literal.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Trudeau made a great joke in Doonesbury many years ago when the King Tut exhibit was on travel through the United States. And Zonker goes, don't you see? He's screwed now. This was his whole journey through the afterlife ensemble. And now he's doomed. And the great thing and the bad thing about religion is you can argue it all you want, but you can't prove anything.
Exactly, yeah.
So,
but the moment they prove it, then that's sort of like, well, I mean, if it's literally everything will come full circle, so to speak.
Well, and that's exactly the point that one of the points I made in the book. You know, you could solve all this with one good TV ad, God.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But not even that. But there's so many ways in which people take the interpretation of religion and how it works and their beliefs. And somehow it gets from this beautiful abstract, we all need to love one another and help one another,
yeah,
to as, oh, but you don't believe what I believe, so now I'm going to have to shoot you.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's almost like when you strip everything down, I always feel like, well, as long as it's still, the goal is to do something good, you know what I mean? I feel like none of them
but
are
some
really...
people believe that those killings
are good. Exactly,
yeah, yeah. So, somebody said God wants me to do this, yeah. I'm say, you know, there are people who say I gotta shoot abortion doctors, I'm saving lives. There's and you never know. I mean, I vision one day when I walk up to the pearly gates and there's Saint Peter, assuming that happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And says, oh, okay, Joe, where's the plate of hearts? I got really upset when people stopped cutting hearts out of chests with stone axes, you know? We like that up here.
Well, but it's good.
I like it too.
I think it's good that you can do your own spin on it, like have your humor about it, but also take it seriously.
Well,
you know?
Humor. So,
but I like for me,
entertainment.
How I deal with like a lot of really bad things is humor. Like I just have to laugh at a lot of things, and I know that's horrible. Like I can hear like a horrible news story, and then I just am like, like I don't know why, but that's just my natural reaction.
That's why you're a cartoonist.
And I'm not necessarily like laughing at, you know, somebody's house that burnt down or something. Like that's obviously like horrible. But I bet I could find a way to like laugh at it. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, it's not something I would wish upon anybody.
That's something we have to do in the deep dark corners of a bar somewhere. Is take all the horrible jokes that we have rattling around in the back of our heads,
yeah,
and just put them all down and then burn them in the fireplace.
Yeah.
In a like, cathartic
okay,
experience.
So
and then,
like,
and then, but then what's going to happen is the first thought is like, well, there goes my $1 million.
Yes. It's so crazy because I can share this story hopefully with everyone because this is something that happened between me and Steve Artley, who's also going to be at Cartoonist Draw Blood. So Steve Artley is an editorial cartoonist in the area, and I went to visit his studio a few months ago. And it was funny because like where his studio is at the end of the hallway. Mm-hmm. And I was the first thing I said to him when I went through the door was like, oh my gosh, so like if Charlie Hebdo comes here, it's good that you're the last one down this aisle, you know? Like I'm like, you can like jump out the window real quick and like find out that they're coming or something, you know, like if people are out there to get you, you know?
I don't know. I've seen Steve's window and I've seen Steve. I'm not sure he could make it through that window.
But yeah, I mean he might be able to like maybe he'll break his arm or something. But he might be able to get out alive, you know. Like, but that was my first joke about like visiting his studio, and I'm like, dude, that's so horrible. But he got it. Like he laughed, and we all knew what it was about. We weren't trying to make light of a horrible situation, but it was funny.
It was funny.
So yeah, Joe. It looks like
there's two Joes in here now.
Yeah, it looks like we're gonna wrap up the show. So Joe, where can you tell us where you're at online and how people can reach you?
You can find everything I do online at joesutliff.com. JoeSutliff, as in French fry.
Ooh, I like that.
Nice. Yeah, thanks for being on, Joe. That was awesome.
Thanks,
man,
for having me.
That was great. So this show is brought to you by Stray Productions. Check them out at StrayProductions.com. Check out my work, JoeCarabello.com. Go to Stray.tumblr.com. Also, my band, MondayMistress.com. What do you got, Carolyn?
Well, we, of course, have the blood drive that's coming up, Cartoonist Draw Blood, October 29th at Seekers Church, directly across from Tacoma Metro in Tacoma Park, right near, yeah, it's on the edge of D.C., so come by and get a drawing, get your blood drawn by American Red Cross, and Joe and I will be there. And you know, as
we might even swipe a bag from upstairs and draw a cartoon in blood.
Yeah,
I would love that. I would love that.
I'll draw all in red.
And of course, you can check out, follow me, Straight J at on Instagram, Karen Bolesky on Instagram, also Carolyn Joe Show, also on Instagram, and also iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Joe, what was that book? What was the book you were supposed to say?
I don't remember.
Oh.
But it's sold out.
But it's sold out.
So you can't get it.
But thanks for being on. I thought it was wonderful, sir. It was absolutely wonderful.
Oh, thank you. And I'll know how this went when I get home and my daughter either throws something at me or gives me a big hug.
That's all right. We'll send her a link, too. And then we can talk about that. Yeah. There you go, world. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other. Let them know, Carolyn.
You are bona fide.
That's right. Good night. Or good day.